Welcome back to Valley Church, and we're glad you're here. I'm going to, whoever wants to use the microphone. Okay. Yeah, come on, whoever, yeah, this is good. Would you welcome to Valley Church?
Thank you.
Is this on? Yes, it's on. All right.
Thank you. Well, Happy New Year. Yeah. And yes, I was figuring it out too, and it's over 21 years since we've actually known Pastor Owen and Val and Valley Church. And you may not know that if you're new here, but you've also sowed many seeds into the kingdom of God in Ethiopia. You've sown through your prayers, your money, and even people, because both Marguerite and Elaine have been to Ethiopia. Marguerite twice and Elaine once. They came out to do the sponsorship camp that we had. We've never had a team yet come from here, but who knows, maybe this year, next year. So anyways, I just want to thank you so much for what you have sown into Ethiopia. And what we really, really desperately need right now are your prayers for Ethiopia. They're going to have their second free election ever in their history in May. And the first one was 10 years ago, and we actually had to come home at that time because it was very, very violent, terrible time. And just to keep my husband safe too, we had to come back here, because he's very vocal about writing and speaking against the government. And but now the next one is coming in May, and my husband is going there for a month, February the 3rd till March the 3rd. And we really would ask you, if you pray at all, if you could remember him, to pray for his protection, for his health, and for favor. He's going over there to rally the Christians, to really gather together to pray for their nation, because the predictions that are coming from pastors about the coming election is it's going to be worse than it was 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, it was really bad. They were taking away truckloads of young men, torturing them and bringing them back. There was machine guns, soldiers at every school, elementary school, high school, university, to get the people to understand you need to just keep your little mouth shut because we're going to do what we want to do. And even though the government was voted out, they did not go. So we really would ask you if you would pray. And God has led us just very recently to start working in Ethiopia among disabled children, of which very little is done in the nation of Ethiopia for disabled children. And I was telling Pastor Owen, I so wanted Christine to be here this morning. In 2013, I was praying about going to Ethiopia for a month. And I said, Lord, it'd be good if somebody went with me. And to my amazement, God told me to invite Christine to go with me. And Christine was born and still has cerebral palsy. But God did just miracles to provide for her financially within 2 weeks of that request. And she went with me for 1 month. And when we were there, or just before we went, people prayed for us. And they said it would be a groundbreaking trip. To tell you the honest truth, I had no idea what they were talking about. But we went. And people were just totally amazed to see this beautiful girl. She's absolutely beautiful. She has the joy of the Lord on her face. She's always smiling. And she just was touching hearts of people there. They just could see her. You know, she couldn't take her wheelchair. She was just struggling with her crutches to go. And we actually made the Hilton Hotel our office during the day, because it's the only place that had facilities for the bathroom for a disabled person. So we would just go there, use a computer, and go out from there and come back and forth, and then we go to our place, which was sort of up in the mountain a bit. So God has just recently started speaking to us from that he wanted us to start helping disabled children. So I went in November to meet the first group, 9 mothers with their disabled children. Some are blind, some are autistic. One boy is paralyzed and autistic. Some are crippled. And we just gathered them together. We rented a van to bring them up to the church, to take them out of the area that they're living in, which is a desperately poor area. And we were able to just encourage the moms. We had beautiful Ethiopian scarves to give the moms. We had stuffed toys, clothing, and food items that the people would really want. And the main thing that I had so much trouble getting was sugar. I didn't know there's a shortage of sugar in Ethiopia right now, and we went everywhere to try to get sugar, and they will only give you 1 kilo of sugar at a time, but we finally found a government place that we begged and begged and begged, and they gave us 2 kilos of sugar for each family. So, I mean, that was amazing. So we just really need your prayers. And if you're interested, if you're a person that prays, and let's face it, if you have a car and you don't put gas in, you're not going anywhere. And if you're a Christian and you don't pray, you're not going anywhere either. So we should all be praying at least sometime in our life, every day, sometime. So if you would be willing just to come to the table outside, I have a photograph of these 9 children. And if you could only just lift that paper up before the Lord once a day and say, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done in the life of these 9 disabled children, we would be so blessed and thankful. And we have another 9 photographs of children coming in March. So I do want to tell you one exciting thing, and you'll see the photographs if you look outside. 20 years ago, when we went to Ethiopia, the first thing we did was take 2 blind girls who were beggars off the street. One of those girls, when she was 16, was reunited with her family. But the second one went on to complete 3 years of university, 1 year at the master's level, and she is now a teacher. And she's the most excited person. And the other thing that we want to do with disabled people is we want to open up the world of computers to them, because that's not going away. And so far, we have provided a computer for Zion, the blind girl, and also another woman who's deaf, Tigist. So we hope you'll jump on board with us. You have been such a blessing to Ethiopia, although you may not know it if you haven't been here long. And we just thank you very much for the relationship, the friendship, and your love and prayers. And I'll pass it over to my husband. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I'm very grateful I'm back to this church. Paul says sometimes the enemy had delayed me, but at the end I made it. You know, I always like to come to this church, and I love Pastor Owen, and I love this church. You think this church is a small church, you know, comparing to some other churches, but it is a very powerful church, because of the integrity of the leadership and the dedication of the leadership. Pastor Owen was telling us he was here 30 years. Imagine, I was just amazed. How could he stay 30 years? I'm not a person who stays, you know. He is really a pastor, you know. And I remember once, you know, we have a problem from Ethiopia. We come and tell him. He pray for us. He give us the fund. And he encourages us. And he has never come to Ethiopia and have seen it one day. And we have been praying for him to come and see the fruit of his labor. And we are really very thankful. One thing I remember, you know, when we were planting the church in Ethiopia, there was a kid who was coming to our church who has epilepsy. And he was coming all the time and falling in the church. I prayed for him. I cast out the demons. I said, Lord, you can heal this boy. I don't want to see. It was like a torch, a boy coming to your church right there and falling in the middle of the congregation with this seizure. I just couldn't stand it. I took him to a doctor, a children's doctor. Do you know what they told me? The seizure will increase more as this boy grows, and it will be worse. He will end up in somewhere. And it was bothering me. I came here and I shared. I remember there was an intercessory woman who was sitting right here, a very slim woman. I don't know whether she is here in the church now. She was an intercessory woman. We came together, they hold their hands, and they prayed and prayed and prayed. When we go back, that boy was totally healed. We asked them when he was healed. When they were praying here, he was healed there. You know, God will not stop because of the distance. Imagine people pray in Canada here, and this boy will be healed over there. You know, maybe God doesn't want us to take the credit, you know, and brag that this boy has been healed when we are there. But when we are away, those people here praying, and that boy was healed. He is quite well until now. I don't know, maybe he's in a high school or university by now. And, you know, it is amazing. You have this great power. I always speak, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. We trust in the name of the Lord. Yeah. God is able to keep his name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. A righteous will run into it and will be saved. Trust the name of the Lord. There is another verse also which really strikes me. This centurion, you know, one day his son was sick. And he came and asked Jesus, could you come and heal my son? And Jesus was trying to go to his home. And he said, no, sir. Speak a word, my servant will be healed. I am also, he said, a man under authority. He said, if I say my servants go here, they go. If I told them come here, they come. He said, I am also a man under authority. Believe you are a man under authority. I'm also standing today, this morning, as a man under authority. A man called by God. Served him for 46 years. I'm a man under authority. I have a word from the Lord. Could you accept it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless you. Dear Lord, you gave us this time, and this time is yours. Let your authority control. Whatever authority we have is not ours, is your authority. Dear Lord, break every chain. Show your power and release your people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. This morning, I would like to share with you. Usually I am preaching by revelation, but when I have information, it was very hard. I have been changing my message 4 or 5 times and praying, and I was able to fit with the title which was given to me. And it says, this is the revelation of the church, and I have to go with the revelation of the church. Recommitment to the kingdom for 2015 harvest. Recommitment to the kingdom for 2015 harvest. The church has a vision here. They want to see a harvest for 2015. But in order to see this harvest, what do they need? They need committed people. You see, committed people, it's very hard to get committed people. And this morning, we have to be recommitted ourselves for the harvest. It is the end time now. We can see so many problems in the world. We can see, you know, so many hustle and bustle. All the news are giving us, you know, which is not good. But in spite of all this, it is a time where the Lord works. It is the time when the Lord moves. It is the time where the latter rain will be released. And people should be healed, baptized by the Holy Spirit, and souls are flooding and coming to the churches because they may not have anything to depend. Sometimes their finance will go, their relatives will go, their fame, their knowledge, whatever they have. The only trust they should have is they should trust the Lord and His name. So this is the time for the harvest. Because during this end time when everything, we lose everything, the only hope we have is to stick with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read something. In Luke chapter 9, verse 5, now when the time was almost come for Jesus to be received up to heaven, he steadfast and determined set his face to go to Jerusalem. This was the end time of Jesus Christ. And he went and he sent messengers before him, and they reached and entered a Samaria village to make things ready for him. But the people would not welcome or receive or accept him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, observed this, they say, Lord, do you wish us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah said? But he turned and rebuked and severely censured them. He said, you do not know of what sort of a spirit you are. Not only that, another translation, it says, what manner of a spirit you have. You know, we are not called to curse. We are called to bless. But this Samaritan, I don't know what happened to them. You know, and because his face was towards Jerusalem, it was not towards, he is not going to stay in Samaria. They couldn't accept him. He was passing by. He was passing by, you know. We all are passing by in this world. But they didn't accept him. The greatest problem, political problem or spiritual problem in this world is recognition and acceptance. Recognition and acceptance. We have to be able to be accepted one another. We have to be able to accept different culture, different people. You know, acceptance and recognition is very important. Jesus was a Jew. He was passing through Samaria and going to Jerusalem. They didn't accept him. Even to rest there and have a small fellowship, they didn't welcome him. This annoyed his disciples. They went to revenge. They said, sir, can we call a fire from heaven like Elijah and say that this fire will consume them? Jesus stopped and said, wait a minute. And he censored their spirit. And he said, what sort of manner is your spirit. What manner of spirit you have? The Son of Man didn't come to destroy, but he came to save, to embrace, to include. You see, I'm sorry, the history of the church is always one leader persecuting another, one Christian persecuting another. You see, when Luther comes with the revelation, the Catholic Church persecuted him. Until recently, they believed that his revelation was right, because he said, the just shall live by faith. You see? He was a faith person, you know. They couldn't accept him. Luther has never accepted the Anabaptist, because Lutherans believe baptism by sprinkle. Anabaptist came, they said, by immersion, and they said, this Baptist, they like water, so drown them and kill them. Who said that? Luther. It's an amazing history we have. The church leaders persecuting church leaders. Imagine. And also the Baptist came when the Pentecostal denomination rises, and we were speaking in tongues, chaparaba katana, and we are sentimentals, and they say they are from demon. They were persecuting us with the government. They said these are heretical. Let them disappear. I always said, I'm not only persecuted by the government, I was persecuted by the churches, the Christians. They always hammer me. I have been persecuted by unsaved people. They drag me in the marketplace and they beat me until the death, and they throw me in prison. They thought I'm dead, and I survived. That doesn't hurt me. But the persecution with my brother, sisters, and Christians, believers, have really wounded me. But the Lord still keep me. I'm so grateful for him. I'm still preaching. I turned 70 years and now I'm going to finish my 71 years. I'm still strong to preach. And I love the Lord, and I'll preach until I have the last breath to breathe. And you know, Jesus now is going to Jerusalem. That is his last place to give his life for all, for every nation, every tribe, and every language. But these guys, they don't even recognize him. And even other his close disciples, they want to bring fire from heaven and consume them. They were called son of thunders. They burst quickly. What kind of manner and spirit you have? You see, this is a question. If we have harvest, and if different people comes from different denomination, some black people will come, some Arabs will come. So when we are quiet to worship, some will say, "Hallelujah! Oh, Baba!" Are we going to welcome them? Are we going to embrace different cultures? You know, when you say what kind of spirit, our spirit was changed by our culture. What kind of manner? You know, some manners, Christians, even after they are saved, they have some manners which came from their culture. Some are fighters. Some don't like foreigners or aliens. You know, they don't like. You know, after I came from Ethiopia, I started a small church. Oh my God, I have seen a terrible different persecution in Canada here. People came and told me, who told you to open a church here? Why do you want to open a church here? You have an accent. We don't listen to you. We don't accept you. Why don't you go back? You came here to sit in a wealthy country of Canada? No. I better die in Ethiopia. But the situation didn't allow me. Secondly, God went with me here. I may have something to contribute for this society. But the society has never accepted me. Is it because of my color? Is it because of my accent? So many things. The church fall apart, and I started to go around the world. I went to Vietnam. I went to Indonesia. I went to Malaysia. I have been going around the world. You see, when one door is closed, the door opens another door. The Lord opens another door. So my message this morning is, try to accept different culture and different people. The Church of God is not only white, is not only Chinese, is not only... I don't believe in ethnic church. What is ethnic? I'm tired of Africa, tribes and ethnics. You know, tribalism and ethnic doesn't work in the kingdom of God. That's why I married this white woman. I am bold enough, you know. But because I married her also, I have suffered. People are, you know, when see are together, they suspect us, you know. Maybe I'm drug pusher and she is helping me. A police can stop us all the time. And when we tell them I'm a pastor, they said, are you a pastor? You know, they thought I'm just taking her, you know. But she, when I say my wife, your wife? They don't believe that I can marry this beautiful wife, you know. She is so wonderful. She is the gift of God. God gave me, you know. Nobody has to argue because God gave me. Can you hear? God gave me. Even in our ring, we wrote, God gave Ruth for Samuel. God gave Samuel for Ruth. We curved it here. We have it. We do believe. We are going to celebrate our 22 or 21, 22 years now in October. Imagine, she was a very strong missionary. She was almost to die in Ethiopia. You see, it is Anita who came to Ethiopia. It is not Elaine Brown. My wife sometimes missed it. Anita came to Ethiopia and she has seen all her work. Anita and Margaret from this church. So we have to be accept each other in order to get revival, in order to get result and commitment. There was this great man, Joseph Brestito. After he led his people in the Second World War, and he became victorious. He united his country. Now it was divided. They call it Serbia, Herzegovina, this and that. He unified. He was a great leader and a friend of Haile Selassie. One time, the news people asked him, what do you think is a great thing in leadership? What do you think helped you to be succeed to lead your people during this Second World War and bring them victoriously? Joseph Brostito think a little bit, and he said, well, it is very hard in leadership to get a person whom you trust from your very heart, whom you trust and depend on him. It is very hard to get that kind of person. Maybe in Canada you can get that. But in Africa, if you are a senior pastor, you have associate pastor or assistant pastor under you, that associate pastor, he always tries to kick you out and take your place. That's what he's trying. He has a plan. The moment he's to be associate, he has a plan to overthrow you. And I always tell them, you know, David was a man of leadership and he was anointed, but he never kicked out Saul. He stayed. Even Saul has lost his anointing and he was trying, you know, to kill David. David said, don't touch him. Don't touch the anointing one. God has put him in that place. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. And he was waiting for him patiently until the Lord took him. Even when he heard Saul has died, he killed the person who has killed Saul. So we have to have this patient and waiting for the Lord. Love one another. There shouldn't be a power struggle. So it's very hard to get a person whom you trust. Therefore, what do we need? We need discernment. Discernment. You see, if we work through information, we can't go anywhere. But if we work through revelation, we'll have discernment. You know, in this book, there is so much material. And when he broke the second... No. I'm reading the false prayer. The wrong place. Yeah, Luke chapter 9. After he rebuked the disciples, verse 57, and it occurred that as they were going along the road, a man said to him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus told him, folks have lurk holes and the birds of the have roosts and nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Where are you following me? I'm just preaching from Luke chapter 9, from verse 7, from verse 5. I'm on verse 51. I was on verse 56, 57. You know, and it will continue. And another man came and asked him, Lord, permit me to follow you. I'll follow you. But permit me first to go and bury the dead of my father. But Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and publish abroad throughout the region the kingdom of God. And another came and he said, I will follow you, Lord, and become your disciple and side with you partly. But let me first say goodbye to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things behind is fit for the kingdom of God. What is Jesus is doing? You know, I can tell you my example. When I have this small church in Surrey, and in Surrey all kind of people are living there, the street people and the whatnot. People heard somebody from Africa came and started church. Different kind of flocks came. And I was so excited. I never used my discernment. I was saying, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just enthusiastic with the Spirit of the Lord. And I said, you know, I'm going to build this church within no time, you know, it's going to flourish. I have a Canadian wife, she is helping me, and you know, there is no problem. I tell you, some of the people, it is the devil who sent them. I'm wrong that I embraced them. Some came to know how much money I'm getting, to control the finance of the church. Some came to see how I was doing it. Some came to divide and destroy the church. Oh, so many things. I spend hours and hours counseling and helping them. And, you know, it was very hard. It was very hard. Even some of the pastors around me, they have never helped me. And this small baby church has to abort. I called some of them, they are abortion doctors. Some abort babies, some abort churches. The only person who encouraged church planting is Pastor Owen. It is not in front of him. I speak even when I am far from him. When one day when I was struggling, he is going to People's Church for prayer monthly once, and suddenly we met into the Christian bookshop. He was looking for a book, and he was looking at me and said, how are you doing, Pastor? I said, yes, I am better, but I was in a very terrible shape that time. And he said, you know, we have some money for church planting. Oh, ho, ho. What is this man talking? I'm already to give up the church. Now he's telling me he has some money for church planting. I never come to him and it has finished. You know, we have to be able, a church has to produce a church. If the Lord gave you people here around here, so many souls, will you just expand the building and sit down here or start to build baby churches here? 20 baby churches around here. You know, Lynn Valley used to have one church over down here at the recreation center. I don't know what happened to that church. You know, we have to be multiplying a church. We have to be able to go from Judea to Samaria. We have to go to the uttermost part of the world by helping the missionaries. Mission is the only heart of God. So, God bless you. What are we going to get through this harvest? When harvest comes, what kind of a church are we going to build? I'm going to read to you two scriptures from Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. If you have seen this Revelation chapter 5. It is a time when John saw a vision. John saw a vision. he have seen, and I saw lying on the open hand of him who was seated on the throne, a scroll book written, and the back closed and sealed with the seven seals. John says, you know, in his vision, he saw a book, he saw a scroll. It was sealed with seven seals. It was the property deed. It was the revelation of the title which all of us can inherit. It is the revelation how people has to work during the end time. And John says, and no one is entitled to open this book and to open the seal. And he said, because no one was found to open the book and to open this seal, and I wept audibly and utterly because no one was found to do it. Then one of the elders said, stop weeping. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root source of David, he has won, he has overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break the seven seals. Hallelujah. You see, for every problem, God has a solution. God has a solution. Whether it is personal problem, whether it is church problem, whether it is vision, whether it is administrative problem. You see, right in Ethiopia now, we have a very big problem. The problem of leadership. Sometimes the elders like to control the pastor. The pastor is nothing, they say. Sometimes the pastor wants to control the elders. They can't work together. They are always bickering each other. How could the Lord work when these two leaders are banging their hair together? We have to work cooperatively in a nice way. So, you see, there is a lot of challenge in leadership. There is a lot of challenge having a members to follow us. There is a lot of challenge. But one thing we know, God has a solution for everything. He has a solution. He will take us through. He has a solution. This guy was told, don't weep. The Lion from the tribe of Judah has a solution. He is entitled to open the seal. The riddle has an answer through the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on he said, he saw, and now they sing a new song. He saw a multitude of people. Verse 9, you are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seal that are on it. For you were slain with your blood. You purchased men unto God from every tribe and every language and people and nation. I was really amazed. Every tribe, every language, and every nation. That's how the church of God has to be. Every tribe, every language, and every nation. If every language and every tribe and every nation are gathered in heaven in the throne of God, why not they gather in the earth here now? Why not they gather in the church here now? I am tired to hear ethnic church. This is a church which is only Caucasian. Let me tell you, I have a great respect for a man called Allen Hornby. When I come in 1988, 89, he opened his hand and welcomed me. He said, you see, the population trend in Canada has changed. He was Oxford student or learner there, and he is a very brilliant person. And he said, I can't build church only with white people here when the population is changed. Population in Canada, he said, 60% by then in 1989 is not white Caucasian. It is black, white, yellow, red, you know, short, long, and all kind of people. Why am I going to plant only a white Caucasian church? It doesn't work, he said. The kingdom of God is not like that. He called me. He put me into a pastoral staff. For the first time, with 10 pastors, 11 black one, Samuel was sitting there and praying. And some people seemed like this. And some come and told me, you know, in Quebec, there is a church where black person is not entered. He's not welcomed there. They tell me like that. You know, some people there, right there. And Pastor Hornby was telling me, tell me, if anybody says anything, tell me, I'm going to deal with that guy. And he was hugging me, and I'm his closest friend to pray with him. And I said, you know, in my heart, if this man is to stand with me, I'm going to change this Canada. I'm going to change this culture. And he brought another Filipino, he brought another Chinese, and he mixed it. I start from the leadership, he said. Then what happened? All the congregation should be come together. I started the Ethiopian church, somebody started Filipino, somebody started Chinese. We're coming to integrate all these churches together with the mainstream church. You know, my teacher used to say, diversity is divine. Diversity is, say, divine. Division is diabolic. Diversity is divine. Division is diabolic. So it was a church with diversity people and diverse language. Then what happened? Suddenly, Alan Hornby died. When pastor died, passed, and another leadership comes, all those people who were under this leadership has gone. And I have gone. And everything works together for good. I married this wife. And she took me back to Africa, to Ethiopia. Everything works together for good. So, diversity is beauty. When the Bible says, from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation, I don't know how many nations are here. You know, this morning I will pray. There are Chinese, I know. There are Filipino. There are Africans here. Where are Africans? Where? Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. You are representing us. Don't leave the church and go. But bring Africans. Bring Filipinos. Bring Chinese. Bring, you know, some people believe if revival comes in Vancouver, it will come only through Chinese, as if they were murdering God. If revival comes through Vancouver, they believe maybe through Filipinos. We are going recently, there is a church, I'm going to finish. Have I run of time? No. There was a church just close to our home. We're going there. And there are 89 nations there. 89 nations. But I don't know how much will be the white person. 1% or 2%? 1% white. Because everybody is black. I said, the white people doesn't like to come to a black church, and the black people doesn't like to go to a white church. What is going on here? I don't feel black when I sat with the white people. I don't care. All men are created equal, and I'm the child of God, created by His own image. I don't care whatever you think, but I'm the child of God. Not only that, I'm the servant of God. I can sit behind with you. I can worship with you. I can pray for you. I can preach for you. I have so many things to say, but time is running. So I want to pray for you. Let's pray. The Lord says He has so many ships which He has going to bring, which are not from this fold. That's what He always desires. He has so many souls to bring which are not from this fold. Will you be His hand, His ear, His feet to go and bring others to this church? If you do that, next year when I come here, there was no place in this, there was no seat in this place. If you are really committing yourself for that, first of all, I will ask you, is there anybody who doesn't know Jesus? Who doesn't know Jesus, who has never given his life to Jesus? Who wants to give his life to Jesus? You will never lose by giving your life to Jesus. You will gain. I would like to pray for you. Could you show me your hand? I don't know Jesus. I have never accepted him as a personal savior. I just give a chance for a sinner for the first time if you are going to receive Jesus. Thank you very much. All of us can stand, hold our hands together in unity, and commit ourselves to the vision of the church, to bring souls to this church, to bring some other people to the kingdom. Just hold your hands to the person nearest to you. Hold his hand and say, you know, I will commit myself, and you also commit yourself this year. When we commit ourselves, we are committing to the Lord to bring at least one soul every month. If you bring one soul every month, one person can bring 12 people. Imagine how many people you can bring to this church. And the harvest is here, right here. There is no problem. So I'll pray for you. You see, Pentecost is not only to speak in tongues. Pentecost is to go out. To go out. You see, that fire will never help you to sit down in one place and warm yourself, hallelujah, shabaraka, and you warm up yourself. But Pentecost is to go out, go into the world, and bring more souls to the kingdom of God. That is Pentecost. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word you have given me. Dear Lord, I'm speaking as you have given me. I will not pass the word. I will not increase on the word. Dear Lord, You are the one who makes this word real into the heart of everybody. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, commitment, commitment. The Canadian people travel 7 times in their lifetime, from country to country, from church to church. You know, I want these people to be established and planted here and bring souls to this kingdom. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Bless these people. Let the spirit of evangelism should come and rest. Let all the gifts of the Holy Spirit start in the life of this congregation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Kibetti. You need to pick up your children if they're there. This is New Year's, what we're anticipating for this year. So may the Lord use each one of us to be his right hand extended. So the Lord bless you. See you in the patio.